always remember that I never take it for granted when you're here. It's just a blessing to my heart to look out and see you in your place. And you're here today. And I want you to know you're in a place, which I'm alluding to God's house. You're in a place that has staying properties. So much of life changes, doesn't it? So much of what society thinks and fads, ideas, opinions, beliefs, they change. What we're looking into today is the Word of God. Going to be there a long, long time. Going to be there eternally, and it's not going to change. So you are not wasting your time. This is something that we need, and obviously, it would benefit all Christians to be here. I'm not making any kind of judgment call because we're all free to do what we choose to do and want to do. But this is a good place. This is the way I feel about Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's just a good place. Sometimes my job, 2 weeks ago, Sunday night, it precluded me from being here. And it just wasn't the same. When I'm not here, there's a piece missing. Last week, we looked at we summarized the first 11 chapters of 1 Corinthians. And if you take nothing else with you from our time in 1 Corinthians, take these two things. I'm not going to go over all 11 chapters again like we did last week. We don't have time for that. In fact, I want to speed it along and get through chapter 12 because we go into chapter 13 and we see this wonderful principle that God has in place for his people. You want to know what it is? We should get along. That's what it is. Very simple. We should love each other, get along, take care of each other. And so we saw in those first 11 chapters that the Corinthian church members were not so good at that. Number one, they were not good at allowing God's Holy Spirit to speak to their heart and dictate how they should think and how they should talk and how they should make decisions. Remember what we saw chapter after chapter. The Apostle Paul said, do this with discretion. Think about what judgment you should use. Think this thing out through. And all the situations, they couldn't get along about who their pastor was. They sued each other. They wouldn't take care of sexual immorality in the church. They could care less about what each other thought as far as what they should do in their Christian life or should not do. They just didn't really think that was a very high priority. And what we see in the entire book of 1 Corinthians is, as a child of God, I cannot do what I need to do as a Christian. I cannot be who I need to be as a child of God without the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit. I've told you many times, I can look back on my life and see vast periods of time when that was not the case. Oh, I was dressed up for the part. I did the thing that I was supposed to do, but I couldn't make good decisions because I was doing everything based on what was on the outside. And you and I, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, cannot think properly without the wisdom and guidance of God's Holy Spirit. The second thing that comes from being guided by the Holy Spirit is that we are going to agree, you and I. If you are being led by the Holy Spirit and you're listening to what he says and you're sensitive to how he directs you, and I am the same way, then we're going to agree. And so what we see here in chapter 12 is this whole talk about gifts. And as I've said a few times, immediately get your mind off of skill and talent. That's what we think about mostly. Well, he's got a gift. She sings that solo. He sings that solo. They got a gift from God. Well, yeah, we all have great gifts from God. We all have talents that we've even developed. But that, as good as all that is not this in chapter 12. Paul goes down a side road here, and he talks about spiritual gifts. The very definition of a gift in the Greek language is that which is of the Spirit. So if I am capable of singing great solos, and I'm not, but if I were, that would be a talent that God's given me. That would be a skill that maybe I developed while growing up. But it's not a thing of the Spirit unless the Spirit chooses to use it in His service. That's why it's so important for all of these choir members up here and all of these musicians and all of these Sunday school teachers back here and all of these ladies who give of themselves so generously during the week to make sure this place is clean and in good order, and I love them for doing that. All that is so, we love it and we appreciate it, but we desire, the Lord wants us to have it this way, that God's Holy Spirit is blessing all of that. Because if His stamp of approval is not on it, like I said last week, we might as well go home, do something else. So chapter 12, when we read it here in just a moment, it's all about gifts that were appropriate for the time. Do you remember when Mordecai over in Esther's time, how Mordecai raised the question to Esther about whether or not she was to be brought into the situation for this time, for such a time as this? God gives us gifts for such a time as this. All those gifts that we read that are no longer a part, as we'll see in just a minute, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. Anybody in here do miracles? The gift of languages. Anybody in here know all the languages and can interpret all the languages? No, I don't think so. I find it unfortunate for me, for so much of my Christian life, that because I was from East Tennessee, where there were, you know, a lot of Baptist-costals, there were tent revivals, and really the tent revivals were just meetings of healing, where some man would be there in town, Brother Albert, to heal you. There were focuses on tongues and handling snakes and all of this. I mean, that's my background. So unfortunately, most of my Christian life, this chapter's been a little bit uncomfortable for me. That's the way we are. Our experiences, our life experiences can take our attention away from what Paul is really trying to say. For each era of time, God gives people gifts for that time. Christ came onto the scene and he performed miracles, did he not? He healed people, did he not? Yes, he did. And he did that for that time to prove his authenticity. The times of healings and miracles. Listen, this is something wonderful to think about. You know, my brother-in-law was right back there last Sunday morning. And then Monday he went to the emergency room and they told him his lungs were full of clots. And the wonderful thing about the age in which we live is I don't have to go to a man and seek healing for my brother-in-law. I can go to the healer himself. Isn't that great? I can go to him directly. Back in that time, Christ was trying to show people that he was the Son of God, he was the Messiah, he was the real deal, and he performed miracles. He healed people. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time, but that's not going to happen today that way. He's still a healer. He can still do his miracles. He'll choose when to do them. But when we get into chapter 12, if you're not familiar with the chapter, you can easily think, well, it must still be going on. Beverly, let's go to a healing meeting somewhere and get all of our problems fixed. These are spiritual gifts. They're gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit chooses which to give us in the way of those gifts. Now, 2 weeks ago, we went through verses 1 through 11. And so we're going to read those this morning as a matter of review, but we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them. Read with me, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, it's real important that we remember that we can always just say the word Lord and him not actually be the Lord of our life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. See, it's important that our life backs up what we say. And here, the Apostle Paul is helping us see that as we start talking about gifts, any gift that you say you have that takes away from the deity of Christ, that takes away from the supremacy of Christ, the power of Christ, and there are a lot out there that do. Any gift that you say you have that does any of that is wrong. It's not a part of the situation. No man can actually allow Christ to be the Lord of his life but by the Holy Spirit. This chapter is about things of the Spirit of God. Verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. The Holy Spirit bestows the gifts. The Lord Jesus administers the gifts. They're under his direction. And our Father, God, supplies the power. And he energizes our gifts. And he helps our gift to be effective and be of something for the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You got a gift. How do you know that, Dwayne? I'm glad you asked. Because that verse wouldn't have been worded that way if you didn't have a gift. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. What's your gift? What's my gift? It's there. Verse number 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. That just means insight into the truth. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The word of knowledge simply means the ability to investigate or dig into the truth. We have teachers in this church, and most churches do. And teachers are helpful in a church because not everybody has the time to investigate and dig into the truth. Amen? You guys are busy. You guys have a lot going on. There's wisdom, the gift of wisdom. And I feel like I've known a lot of men and women who just had a spiritual wisdom about them. My mama was one of them. And my dad too, but my mama sticks out in my mind as somebody that the Spirit of God just gave her an innate sense of wisdom. My dad is the one that I think about knowledge. Loved the Scriptures. Loved getting into the word study of the Scriptures and the stories of the Scriptures. And his strength as a pastor for so many years was tying the Bible together, cover to cover. He investigated that. That's a gift that he had. He enjoyed it, he loved it, and he was good at it. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, haven't you met Christians before that just seems like they have such a strong faith? I've got some people here in my circle of friends at Bible Baptist Church that encourage me all the time because I just feel like they've got a strong faith. That's a gift. What about the gift of having a faith so great that you have a strong prayer life? Many, many, many times. Maybe, I don't know, I know hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times. Nita Connor knew she could call me at any time. And I'm on the road, I'm driving, that's my job. And she would call and we would talk, and I just always had a, you know, this is going to sound silly, but I just feel like she had a direct line to the Lord. You know, she had that innate sense of faith that God was in charge, and she would allay that to me as I drove down the road. That's a gift. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Don't have to go to you, I can go directly to the Lord. But for a while, the gift of healing was necessary. And it was done to authenticate that he was the real Messiah. He was the real thing. I want to say so much here, but I'm watching the clock so I don't go on so many rabbit trails. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Once again, you know anybody who's good at this? If you do, please give me their number. To another, the working of miracles, and the working of miracles had a purpose. Christ performed the miracles, and some of the apostles performed miracles in that time to authenticate that Christ was the Son of God. To another, prophecy. What is prophecy? What did we find out prophecy was? Well, you know, when we hear about prophecy, we hear about foretelling the future, don't we? A prophecy conference is usually from Revelation. Well, the word prophecy as a means of foretelling the future didn't come around until the 4th century. In Bible times, it meant just to teach the Word of God. So Brother Chris is a prophet. Now, he can't tell you what's going on tomorrow any more than I can. But he can teach the truth. He can teach the Word of God. That is prophecy. And it's come, unfortunately, to be known by something else in our day and age. But it's just teaching. It's investigating the deep things of God and bringing it out to us. What I like about our prophet, Downer, is this. He takes the wonderful, deep things of God, the great truths that God has given him the wisdom to understand because he has dug into it all week. He takes those wonderful truths of God and brings them down here, puts them on the bottom shelf where you and I can get into the cookie box. that's what that's all about, the gift of prophecy. And it's a great gift. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, to a point, we should all be discerning. Paul spent much time in chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9 and I think even 10, talking about the necessity for us as a child of God to have a discerning spirit. What does that mean? Well, that means don't make decisions and don't think up things based solely on what we think. Get into the Word of God and get a principle, an idea of how God would want us to do that. Another discerning of spirits. To another, diverse or different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. The tongues in the book of Acts was a language. That doesn't happen in our world. There's no need for that anymore. We have the written Word of God. We don't have to be proven to, or the Word of God doesn't have to be proven to us by some miracle, like at the Tower of Babel, where all those languages were in use on that day. That was for a time such as that. We don't need it today. So, I'm going to go ahead and ask the question. And there's I don't have an answer for this, and I don't expect you to have an answer for it, but my granny, and I had a granny and a grandma, and they both spoke in tongues. Both. Changed my mind. Georgina, what were they saying? I don't know either. But Paul's made it very clear that if there's a tongue or a language that is used, there needs to be an interpretation of it, because God's house is not a house of confusion. It's a house of order. So if Georgina starts speaking in tongues, we need her to tell us what the interpretation is. But it was a gift for such a time as that. We finished with that verse. Verse 11 says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally what? As he will." He chooses. He's going to tell us in just a minute that we don't need to be worried about what kind of gift that we have. We don't need to choose it. We need to wait for him to choose it and let us know what it is. We know that in the Corinthian church there was a lot of division, and historians tell us that during that time there was a lot of people who wanted to be chief. And so there was jealousy because this guy wasn't the guy that was up here behind the lectern, the podium. He was doing something else subservient in the back. That was his job, and he was jealous of the guy who was out in front. And the Apostle Paul, in the tenor of what he says in the book of 1 Corinthians, and he'll say it here in just a minute, very clearly, that in the kingdom of God, in the church of God, we're all important. Beverly, you're just as important as Brother Chris. You're welcome. We're going to see him say that here in just a minute. And verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So what we're going to see is this whole thing of gifts in the church is going to be compared to our body. How much we need all the members of our body. And when we lose a certain member, it's complicated, isn't it? It's different. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." When we're saved, even our baptism is a sign of we are identified with Christ. We are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And if you have not been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, then you're not a Christian. All believers have been Spirit baptized. He says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, well, that'd be a little awkward. An eye walking around. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. You know, we should take great comfort in that fact. Paul spent so much time in the past four or five chapters talking about the need to be content where God has placed us. You ever get discontented at times? I do. And it's always important for me to sit back and start reading the verses that I need to read about serving where I am, loving where I am, being content with what He has given me. It's pretty important. And He determines what is important and what is not important. He's the one who puts it all into motion, and He's got it in motion for His reason. And we don't always understand His reason, do we? Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I don't need you. I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, let me take you back a few chapters. Don't turn there, but remember back when they were... I'm going to run out of time again today, Lizzie. Good night. We started talking about church members suing each other. You remember that? And Paul gave us a whole long list of reasons why we should never do that. But here was one of them. Why go to the outside judge and ask him to get involved in this right here when we're capable of fixing this thing ourselves? Because God's Holy Spirit speaks to you and He speaks to me, and when He does that, we're on the same page. But then He says something else. He takes it a step further than that. He said, if you really want to fix problems in the church and you have an issue that needs to be judged because you got a brother and a sister or brother and a brother that can't get along, what did he say? Go to the church body and get the most feeble guy in your church. Remember that? And why did he say that? You know, we would like to... This is the way I think. If I got a problem, if Larry and I have a problem, you okay with me using his example? Okay. If Larry and I have a problem and we need somebody to mediate, what I want to do is get the guy in this church or the lady in this church that is the most reasonable, thoughtful, smartest, so he or she could mediate between me and Larry. Paul didn't say that. He said, go get that guy that's the most feeble in your church. What? Why, Paul? Why do you say that? Well, because the most feeble guy in your church, if he's led by the Holy Spirit, is exactly what you need. Because God will tell him how to think. God will show him what to say and how to make those decisions. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that he uses this word feeble for the second time in these chapters. Trying to see which verse that word was. 22. Yeah, which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Then he goes on and says, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care. One, what? for another. He's still trying to get us to get along. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Okay, so about 2 years ago, I went to a foot doctor. And I had a problem, a pain on my left, off my left pinky. And he said it was a bunionette. You know what a bunionette is? A bunion is on the side of the big toe. A bunionette is on the side of the little toe. He said I need surgery. And I found a way around it. I mean, as long as I don't hurt it, it doesn't give me too many problems. Here's the thing. Sometimes I hurt it. And my little toe, it's just like yours. It's a little thing, isn't it? It's a little thing. When that thing is hurting, my whole body hurts. Paul's given us a valuable, wonderful lesson here. It's God's church, God's family, God's people should be this way. And if our most richest and most handsomest and most intelligent member hurts, that's not good, and we should love on him, we should care for him, we should pray for him, we should do whatever we can for him. But if the church little toe hurts, we need to do the same thing for him, because we're the body. And when the little toe hurts, we need to hurt as well. And you can use that analogy for the whole body, because it works. I always hear, I enjoy hearing this, but you know, you make hospital visits, and whatever's going on with that person, because it is so, it really hurts, it's painful. They'll say, I've never felt a pain like this. And then you visit them for something else in the hospital a year later. Oh, I've never had a pain this hard. Well, it's the body. And when something hurts, it really gets our attention, and it feels like it's the biggest thing in the world. Paul's trying to get us to say, if that feeble guy back there, if he's in trouble and he's hurting, we're hurting too. And if we're not, then something's wrong. We should have a love and a concern for each other that surpasses everything else. Verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now we went over all of those, and we may spend some more time in the next week or two just kind of reviewing those, but I want to get to a certain point by 10:15. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? Now each of these questions deserve the answer no. That's what he's given us a little insight to. And then he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Well, key word here is best. Best for whom? Best for the body. That's what he's talking about. The entire package here. The entire package here. Covet earnestly the best gifts, not the showy ones, but the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us individually. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. What is that way he's about to show us? Go to the next chapter real quick. Chapter 13, verse 1. This is the way right here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Paul says, I got you a better way to think about this. We're all in this thing together. The Holy Spirit gives us the gifts that he chooses to give us, and if we listen and if we take every opportunity to mature those gifts and use those gifts and serve, that's important. But Paul says, there's a crucial point that's next. Let me show you that better way. And you know what the better way is? Us loving each other. there again. That's the better way. God's Holy Spirit will not give me a gift, an area of service that necessarily leaves you out of it. He will give me what to do, and He will give Linda and Beverly what to do, and they'll, if we're all three listening, and if we're all three in submission to the Lord, those three things are going to agree with each other. Isn't that great? Albert has this deep bass voice. You know why I sit up there in the choir next to him? Because I love to hear him sing. And I try to emulate it and copy it, but I can't. But probably, if we got a list of things and wrote them down, I probably have a few gifts that he may not have. That's God's Holy Spirit doing that thing. And as we do it, He wants us to love each other in the process. And those are not just words. He wants us to care for each other. That's the way this is supposed to work. God's Holy Spirit directs our paths. He directs our life. And then we love each other in whatever area He puts us. Would you pray with me?